Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time. Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, the only show where two total dudes review one Total Divas show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling-themed Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp, and joining me as always on this arduous journey of a nightmare is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guys Wrestling Show. He is the Pidgeotto to my Pidgeot, so go catch them all, and welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
Not too badly this evening.
Not too badly, so just kind of bad.
Pretty much. Now, as we know from the past two episodes of Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, you were on assignment. You were trying to lock up a marshmallow company endorsement deal. It would make me feel better if you have it locked up. Do you have it locked up?
Well, I'm proud to announce here today on this episode that we are in very strong talks with the Jet Puffed Marshmallow.
Very interesting to know that. Now, is that not Mrs. Sign Guy's company that she said she would most like to see you get as an endorsement?
I believe it is. Kraft, they listen to our show every week. They told me they were big fans, and they want to put their stamp on it.
Very interesting.
So what's the scuttlebutt around the water cooler, Sign Guy?
Well, you mean besides this whole marshmallow thing?
Yeah, besides that.
Well, not a lot of scuttlebutting, but I believe Will Huckabee's jersey was in San Francisco yesterday visiting the house of the Fuller family from the hit ABC sitcom from years gone by.
Bob? Robert Fuller?
No, the Fuller house. It's now the Fuller house. It was the Tanner house at one time, back when it was Full House. But obviously DJ has taken over that house because Danny Tanner gave it to her because when her husband died, she had to support her own boys.
Nope, doesn't ring a bell. Never heard of it.
Well, most of us have. And that's where Will Huckabee's jersey was just yesterday. It has gone all over the continent. It was in my living room for a short spell. It's gone from Seattle down to Mexico and all the way back up.
Well, that's quite interesting. So, Mr. Huckabee, I'm sure you're not listening, but
he might be.
He might. Perhaps he needs to get in touch with the Fuller House crew. I don't know.
Actually, he said he's fine with the jersey getting be getting to Japan, and then he would want the jersey back so he can retire it and frame it and put it on his wall.
That would be a quite famous jersey, so I can understand that. Anything besides the jersey or the marshmallows, fine guy?
That's a large part of it. The rumor on the street is there's some sort of cruiserweight classic tournament happening this week.
Yeah, I was trying to turn on NXT prior to this thing we do. I don't know what you want to call this. I wouldn't call it a podcast. It's a couple of idiots talking. But the network not working on the Xbox One tonight, brother.
Have you tried the Xbox Two?
There is no such thing, so I have not.
Well, that might be the mistake. Maybe you need an Xbox Two.
Well, I have two Xboxes. Does that count?
Possibly. Did you get it to work that way?
I'll go try Xbox number two later.
All right.
But, yeah, the cruiserweight looks good. Nakamura versus Finn Balor looks good. We'll watch some wrestling later. Watch some wrestling.
Sure. And also, apparently, Bob Hardy, famed Hall of Fame-level fan from the Pacific Northwest, no longer going to be able to be called Bob Hardy because of the proprietary agreement stage in the final deletion. Matt Hardy named the sole owner of everything Hardy. One would presume that trickles down to Bob Hardy, who has saved more sports entertainers than penicillin.
Why do these sports entertainers need penicillin? A lot of ear infections?
Dirty mats, yes.
Yeah, some staph infections, ear infections. That's probably about it.
Lung infections are common.
So what else is
going
on?
Eye infections are a plague.
Do we have a guest tonight, or are we just going to talk about, like, infections?
We do have a guest, and she might have an infection. I can't confirm it. We have with us the SCW Cruiserweight Champion, as a matter of fact, Phantasma Ekkes.
Hi.
Welcome. Welcome. Now, do you want to be called Phantasma or Ms. Ekkes?
Phantasma.
Excellent. Well, Phantasma, let Sign Guy introduce you. Give us a little rundown, Sign Guy. Tell us something.
Well, she is the current reigning defending SCW Cruiserweight Champion. She is trained from the Lucha Volcanica School. She has competed in rings from Oregon all the way up into British Columbia, which is in Canada.
Oh. You went to Canada?
Once.
Yuck. I'm sorry. That place is bad, too. Ugh.
It was cold.
Well, let's see here. You had to watch Total Divas tonight. Are you a regular viewer of said show, or is this your first viewing of Total Divas?
To be honest, I've watched every episode of Total Divas like 10 times each.
Wow. So you watched them more than myself and Fine Guy even. I'm sorry for you. I know how miserable I feel. So, now, what do you like about the show? What draws you to it? What's the catch for you?
Kind of nice just seeing, like, what they have to deal with in real life, too, because everybody kind of looks at the Divas as, like, glamorous and, like, everything's perfect. But, like, watching the show, it's, you can really tell that, no, that's not really it ever.
Okay. Excellent, excellent. Sign Guy, do you want to get into the questions you need to ask?
Yes. The first and foremost question, what kind of tea do you like to drink post-match? I know you probably have a favorite tea that you drink after matches as an antioxidant.
Yeah. I like green tea.
Very, very good. Is it just a straight green tea, or do you put a little mint in there?
No. I put ice in it.
Very interesting.
Nice.
All right.
Then, Sign Guy, the next most important question.
The second most important question, way down the line. I think you may have answered it. I believe you've actually answered it without answering. Whom is this show Total Divas for? Whom is the target audience?
I'm assuming people that like divas.
That's honestly, that's probably a better answer than we usually get. We've tried to pin it down more than that. Sometimes we think it's for, you know, like gross wrestling fans who just want to creep around. Sometimes we think it's for, like, the young woman. If you look at their Facebook, it's all young women, such as yourself, talking about it. But overall, I think you're right. It's just about people who like divas. Sign Guy, thoughts?
Well, I believe possibly she answered this earlier. It might be more narrow of that. It might be young luchador cruiserweight champions that have been to Canada that like divas, because obviously they watch the show a lot.
Sometimes, when they're bored in us.
Excellent, excellent.
Well, you've been bored at least 650 times if you've seen every episode 10 times.
Yes, I have. I'm bored a lot.
You must be if you watch this show that many times.
No way, I watch Tough Enough too.
Tough Enough? All of the seasons or just the most recent one?
All of them.
All of them, yeah. I like the Stone Cold season the best.
Me too.
Yeah.
Now, is that because Arion was in that and you're a huge fan of Arion?
I really don't like Arion, actually.
Wow. All right. Did you actually
Vinny,
call her up and say girl bye when she got her release from WWE?
I did. I was so happy.
That's a little cold. Rex was upset primarily because it meant Vinny would no longer be on Total Divas.
Yep.
I like Vinny.
He's my favorite. Yeah, see, everybody likes Vinny. Vinny's great.
He is.
See, Sign Guy, I'm not wrong in my love of Vinny.
Nope, just a little creepy.
Nah, it is a little creepy. Should we move ahead and say hit the music, Sign Guy?
Well, is that what you want to do?
I don't know, is that what I want to do?
Well, let's ask Phantasma Ekis, because I don't think that she's been wrong yet.
I'm never wrong. I agree.
All right, there it is. Hit the music, Sign Guy. Take a segment of the show from the episode of Total Divas we watched, we transcribe said scene, and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional charge. Phantasma, as a young luchadora, would you say that song is one you would jam around to in your car?
No, I was headbanging to it.
I could feel the enjoyment that
Oh, yeah.
That brings to all of us. This tonight's segment of the show is going to feature Sign Guys Nikki Bella and Taz Mahal Nate. I don't know what voice I just went into there. I just went into the it's the broken Matt Hardy voice, I think. And, I'll be TJ. Everybody ready?
See.
And see.
I try to make the diet on point this week because you know those crazy weeks when you don't get all the workouts in?
Settle down and not just what you're eating. You look great. Your legs look smaller.
They do?
Yes. Not that I've been checking you out, but...
No. Check me out, girly. I like it.
Okay, sounds good then.
There's me.
So I says to him, I says, two falls in a backbreaker.
TJ, why didn't you tell me you were going to be here?
What's up, brother?
I don't need you coming here to work and embarrassing me. Like, first of all, don't call me brother. But why are you here?
Because I have a contract. I work here.
TJ, you know what? I don't need you coming to work here to work and embarrassing me.
I'm here to work. That's why I'm here. You think I just magically appeared here and I flew myself here? And I was like, oh, I hope I can be backstage and Natty can be walking by.
You're being sarcastic. I'm sick and tired of you talking to me like I'm one of your buddies.
Am I supposed to talk to you like we're enemies? If you don't want to talk to me, and you don't want to...
Talk to me like I'm your wife, TJ, because I am your wife, and you're my husband, okay? We are not friends.
You don't act like it. You think I'm here to cause a fight, cause a scene, and get in trouble here at work? No. You wanted me at work. You wanted me at work. Well, here I am. And now you're angry and telling me off, so...
I wanted you back at work, TJ, because I missed having you in my life.
I can tell.
I found out that having you in my life is a fucking pain in the ass, and you're really not that in love with me. I'm going to put on my happy face, and everything's going to be great. I don't want to fight. I don't want to have another pyro. I'm going to stay away from you so we don't play.
I'd rather hear that than get yelled at.
TJ, I'm done. I'm done right now because you're acting very...
I'm here for work, okay? I'm here for work. And scene. Sign guy, what was this?
This was the favorite televised scene of any television program ever to air on any forum of one Rex Razor Sharp. It was the only thing he's ever loved in his entire life. The scene featured... What?
No, the only thing I love in my life is my wife in Pokemon Go. Everything else I don't love.
Yeah.
But no, great scene.
Give it a couple of minutes and you'll be back to loving it. But Natty was talking to Nikki Bella, and she was hitting on Nikki Bella. Being really creepy because, as we saw last week, she's into just checking out girls at random, pulling their pants forward and sticking her head in them.
Yeah.
And before she could put that type of move on Nikki, Nikki spots TJ. And she's like, oh, there's TJ. Let's go say hi to him because here's his wife. Natty goes charging up there just furious because TJ did not call ahead to her and get permission to go to work. She thought TJ had snuck into the building, looked at the blueprints for the building, picked the exact corridor that would intersect with the corridor Natty would happen to be at later so he could anger her by his mere presence to the point she would cause a horrible scene in front of everyone at WWE. So in order to avoid that, She yelled at TJ in front of everyone at WWE and caused a huge scene, while TJ was simply there talking to Tyler Breeze about things that they might do later on in their match.
That is what the scene was.
Now, can you confirm how many times that you, since this originally aired, walked up to your wife, Beth, and said, "Hey, what's up, brother?"
Well, when this originally aired, I was saying it, like, daily, at least, if not on the hour, and she grew very tired of it and didn't want me calling her brother anymore either. I guess it's something with wives. They don't want to be called brother.
Now, did she yell at you so much that Pyro went off and deafened you to her words?
No, I can't say that that happened.
All right. Now, Phantasma Ekis, I presume you're not married to any luchadors, am I correct?
You are quite correct, Sign Guy.
Now, if you were to be married to a luchador, and this luchador was booked on a show, would you expect him to call you in advance and get permission to be at this show, or would you expect him to go to the show as booked?
Well, I mean, like, it's his job, so if he didn't show up, I'd probably be mad. You don't need permission to go to work.
Someone should have called Natty Neidhart and told her that in advance.
Well, let's get started with this show. This was an episode where I would say everyone was quite unlikable. So, Phantasma, whom on this episode did you find to be the most unlikable character?
I hate Ariane.
Okay, tell us about it.
Well, like, this is the episode where she was, like, hiring Nikki Bella, too, as her, like, real estate agent. And, oh, my God. She was getting so mad at, like, every little thing Nikki would do. And then she, like, started calling her a bad friend and then took every little thing Nikki said and turned it against her. And I'm not a huge Nikki Bella fan either, but, oh, my God, Ariane was just, like, I don't even understand. But she was getting mad about everything, and it really made me want to kind of chop take her in the face. I'm not gonna though.
She was quite horrible this episode.
In every episode.
But the position she put poor Vinny in this episode, to just have a guy just be, she knew that house was too expensive. She knew he wasn't gonna be happy about it. And then she gets him there. She tries to trick him into loving the damn place. Then she's like, "Oh, hey, it's way more money than we have." Sign Guy, what did you think?
Well, I don't dislike Ariane as much as two of you, apparently, and she did save Eva Marie's life later on, but yeah, it was a little bit awkward because she never gave Nikki Bella a price range as far as what price she would be willing to spend for a house. She just left it really vague, and then she told Nikki all of the stuff she wanted, so Nikki was like, "Oh, okay, all this,
yeah,
everything she wanted, put it into this house, and she wants to move to Southern California, so that's where I'll look." And so she was presuming she had several million dollars to work with. She's like, "Here's everything you want." And Ariane's like, "Well, I can't afford that." And she's like, "Fine." She picks another house. She's like, "You won't have everything you want, but maybe you'll like the price better," kind of insinuating she was just some cheapskate that didn't want to spend the money. And when Vinny got upset with the price, he was kind of like, "Well, you know, that's a whole lot there." And Ariane's like, "Oh, yeah." So then she got mad at Nikki, and he's like, "Well, maybe if you just won't take the commission at all and just sell us the house and then drop the price on the house and take it at a loss because we won't pay you for your work, and then we'll take the house." Whom does that to the real estate agent?
Well, let's ask. Phantasma, if you're were buying a house, would you ask your friend to not get paid in order to sell you a house?
No, that's rude. She's like,
I wouldn't even go into like fucking Burger King and ask my friends to give me free stuff because they might get fired. That's what happens.
Seriously,
it's
kind of their job.
Yeah, her job is to sell this damn house. And then you want her to not get paid for it? That's rude as hell.
That is rude as hell.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. What a shitbag of a woman.
Shitbag.
Any other thoughts? Yeah, she's a real shitbag. Any other thoughts about her, either of you?
She's annoying.
I ain't got any thoughts.
This one just popped in my head.
Oh, okay.
Now, last week, I believe it was, yeah, it was last week, her and Vinny were moving because they jumped in with Jonathan Coyle and Eva Marie, and then they had to end up shipping all of their stuff. If they didn't have a house yet, where did all their stuff go?
This is a good question.
I guess it was making me stink.
Yeah, because they were going to drive out slowly, and they were hoping they'd have a house by the time they got there. And then all their stuff could just go directly in the house, but they were so horrible. Jonathan Coyle said everybody ship their own stuff and get flight on the trip. They were going painfully slow. It took them 4 days to get one state over. So they probably thought they had weeks, and suddenly they're just thrust into the situation. They've got no home, but all their stuff was on the way.
This is a good point.
What I would do. Trust fate.
Who do you think would be the better driver on a trip like that, Vinny or Jonathan Coyle, Phantasma?
As much as I do love Vinny, he's kind of ditzy, and I feel like he would be that one driver that, like, is like, guys, that looks cool, and he'd, like, turn down that road, and then they get lost.
That's true, but what you're not factoring in is that Jonathan Coyle is eating a steak every 2 minutes.
That's true. But, I mean, you got to get that protein no matter what you're doing, so I kind of agree with him.
Well, you got to factor in also, they made it clear last week, Jonathan Coyle wouldn't let anybody stop for food. They had what they had in the car, and he wasn't stopping. That's why Vinny got sick.
I kind of feel bad about that.
But then Coyle trying to keep everyone in order, keep them moving, would make him the better driver then. We're all in agreement?
Yeah.
That's why he was on my top list at number two last week, as you'll recall.
Yeah, I'm like him. I don't want to stop. I don't want to use the bathroom. You know, we can get some Depends. We can get some piss jugs. We don't have time for this. We got to get somewhere, you know?
Remind me never to travel with you.
Oh, it never happens that way, because then I'm usually the first one to have to piss. So,
what happened to the Depends?
Depends. What do you think happened to them?
I'm thinking, you say, these are the dirt worst diapers I've ever worn, and you just throw them away, and then you don't have them when you need them.
That is what I say.
Then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Now, Phantasma, knowing that Rex might be cajoled into wearing a diaper part of the trip, would you travel with him part way somewhere?
How long is part way?
Let's say you're doing a 200-mile trip, and he'll wear a diaper for the first 75 miles.
That's pretty good.
75 is not half a 200, but, I mean, I guess but I'm not stopping either. He chose to wear a adult diaper. He could deal with it then.
That's true. That car is going to smell a lot like poop.
Yeah. No, never mind.
That was
we'll
the
stop.
First episode story. Your whole, like into the bed of the pickup truck story. I remember that.
Yeah, that was a good story. sign guy, go ahead. Who'd you hate?
Number one, I had Natty.
Yeah, she was pretty much the worst.
Now,
yeah.
This broad, she starts out, she's leading TJ through this heavy downpour into the divorce attorney, and she's just mad, just really angry. TJ,
mm-hmm.
a couple episodes ago, said, hey, does any part of you want a divorce? Because he's just asking. He was trying to figure out what she wanted. And him trying to figure out what she wanted to do so he could make her happy regardless of what it was, got more and more angry. And any time he spoke, she got angry. And he's just livid. And then when the divorce attorneys say, well, this is going to be really expensive. It's going to cost you thousands of dollars once you file for the divorce, and even though you're going to split everything, then, you know, it can get costly. And then she got mad at the divorce attorney. Like, she wanted TJ to front the entire cost, and then she wanted everything. TJ could just, like, sleep outside in the rain, I guess. Not go to work unless she gave him the okay, so, you know, he wouldn't be earning any money. And she's just fine with that. And then later on, she calls up Trinity, and she's like, come over here so we can loudly bash my husband while he's 15 feet from us. It'll be great. And Trinity was thinking, oh, we'll just drink some cocktails and look at pictures or whatever like we've done before in previous episodes, but oh no. Natty's just like, oh, guess what? TJ was going to put the laundry in the dryer, but then he didn't. And he was going to change the cat box, but I guess I'll do that too. And Trinity's just flabbergasted, and TJ comes out, and he's like, oh, I forgot. I guess you haven't forgotten anything since you're perfect. And she's like, oh, well, guess where I'm going to put your clothes? And he's making guess after guess after guess, pretty good guesses. I was on board with a couple of them. I'm like, oh, it's a contest. Someone's going to win a prize here. But nope. She dumps them on the lawn and then walks away, leaving Trinity, whom was there just for some cocktails, maybe some conversation, has to pick up TJ's laundry and carry it into him.
I feel pretty bad about that because, like, Natty's yelling at him for not doing laundry, then she goes and puts it out on the yard, and now he's got to rewash it because it's touched the ground. So, like,
exactly. And you got Trinity picking up TJ's undergarments and stuff and, like, hauling them in because she doesn't know what to do. She's not used to this type of dramatic situation. Normally she just sweeps up broken glass that her husband throws at her. None of this laundry stuff in the Uso home. But, and then Natty, like we said before, goes to Raw, hitting on Nikki Bella, wanting to have Nikki Bella check her out, and just explodes at TJ. Just like, how dare you come to work when Mark Carano calls and says come to work? How dare you have a contract that stipulates they can tell you where to appear without my authorization? How dare you do this? I could make a scene if I wasn't too busy screaming at you in front of everyone in this hallway, especially Trinity over there, who I love to make uncomfortable, apparently, and just went completely nuts. And the worst thing of all, two episodes ago, she was talking to Machiavelli, and she tells Machiavelli he's got mess in his tail. He's like, you got mess in your tail, boy, mess in your tail. Two episodes later, so presumably a few weeks have gone by, the mess hasn't been clean. She's just sitting there just rubbing the mess in the tail, telling him how much he's got mess in his tail, shaming this poor pussycat. She hadn't helped the cat at all, hadn't helped him one bit, didn't clean up the mess, nothing, just yelling at this poor pussycat about how much he has mess in his tail, making the pussycat hope that TJ wasn't just joking and he would cut him in half.
Well, you know.
Headline from TJ. He was the best episode, the best character on this show. Let's just jump ahead.
Whoa, pause it.
No.
We're not
we
to
it.
Our best of list yet.
I got it. You just mentioned the second best line.
All right,
never mind. It says, sucks on Natalia Neidhart.
Yes.
Oh, there's a badass, there's a horrible storm outside right now, you guys, by the way. Horrible.
That's unfortunate.
I might have to go in the bathtub and hide from a tornado.
I had to do that once. Scary.
Whoa. Stop right there. Why were you in Rex's bathtub?
Not
Rex. That's true.
Are you sure you were hiding out in Rex's bathtub from a tornado?
Well, I was in North Dakota, so unless Rex was over in North Dakota about five summers ago.
I'm definitely not in North Dakota. I'm definitely not five summers ago.
All right.
The storm was just bugging me. Back to Natalia.
Natalia?
What were your thoughts on her?
There's some episodes I like her. This episode is not one of them. She is slightly psychotic and kind of scares me, to be quite honest. She gets so mad about every little thing. And, like, she told her husband that she wants him back at work, and he shows up at work, and she yells at him. And then back to the laundry thing, like, she gets mad that he didn't do his laundry. But then she goes and throws it out on the lawn, so now he's got to redo it, even though he didn't really do it in the first place. But she needs to really decide what she wants, because it's kind of frustrating to listen to her freak out all the time, although it is kind of funny. It's also kind of sad.
Indeed. That poor lady and everyone that has to encounter her. Ugh. What do you think, Sangha?
Have you ever encountered her phantasma?
No, I've only encountered Vader.
Ah. Are we talking the Washington Town or the wrestler? Or both?
The wrestler.
Okay.
Well, both, but I was talking more about the wrestler, yeah.
I did have a brief, quick encounter with Natalia years ago. It was in Everett, Washington. She did not scream at me, nor did she stick her head into the pants of Mrs. Sangai. I think we were very fortunate that night, all things considered.
Yeah.
That's good. That's sweet of her.
It really was. Nowadays, I would be worried. I'd be like, whoa, just keep on your side of the sidewalk there.
Next, who else did you dislike, Phantasma?
I didn't really like Nikki in some parts of the episode either, but I don't usually like. Yeah.
What didn't you like?
She's just kind of bossy and it irritates me, and her voice irritates me, but can't really change that. But she wasn't that bad this episode. I just really, really don't like Ariane and Natty.
I'm usually fine with Nikki, but she was horrible this episode. My God, the way she acted about, well, first off, the mistake always falls back on Ariane for picking Nikki Bella to be her goddamn realtor. Sangha, would you pick Nikki Bella to be your realtor?
No, but if we recall a couple of episodes ago, I don't think she picked her because she thought she was a good real estate agent. She picked her because Vinny had put her on the spot. And she's like, Vinny's going to dump me if we don't buy a house together. Nikki's into real estate. She's like, I meant to surprise you. Nikki's my real estate agent. She's going to find a house for us. So it wasn't like a conscious decision where she researched who would be a good fit for her. She was on the spot and just blurted that out and was stuck with Nikki.
Yeah.
Could be.
So I kind of blame Vinny.
What else did you think about Nikki, Sanga?
I thought she sort of handled things all right early on with Ariane. She's like, okay, well, you don't like this house. But then she's kind of like snide about it, like, oh, well, maybe you'll like the price of this one better. And then, of course, she was actually the voice of reasonable restraint with her sister because she was the one that said, hey, let Eva Marie handle things how she wants, you know, don't, like, force her to do anything. It'll be all right. So she was trying to avoid that ugly situation. But then she goes right back into the ugly situation with Natty. She's like, oh, there's T, and takes her over there. She probably didn't know at the time how serious they were disagreeing, but still, she kind of led her right into that fray. And then the whole thing, once Ariane stupidly said, oh, do you mind taking just part of your commission, or even better yet, nothing at all? And of course she would flip out because that is insulting, but she took her outside and yelled at her outside in front of a bunch of people, insinuated Vinny was like some bum that was just riding on Ariane's coattails. She's like, oh, well, yeah, if Vinny had a decent job, then you'd be able to buy the houses I show you. She had no idea what Vinny did for a living. None at all. She's just throwing it out there. She's like, must be all Vinny's fault. So all he does is travel around with Ariane, just chasing after her, yelling, babe, 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 all day long. He had a job with a lot of leave built up, apparently. But she just tried to emasculate poor Vinny for no apparent reason whatsoever.
That's another reason to hate Ariane, though.
What would that be?
So, like, when they were, like, after they started looking at both the houses and they were all, like, talking down, like, sitting at that one restaurant place, and Ariane was, like, whining at Nikki to not take commission, like, the waiter came over and gave everyone champagne, and then Ariane and Vinny just left, like, expecting Nikki to pay for that too. I think that's rude.
I did notice that. It's like they never showed them go back for the champagne, so you don't know if they just chugged it or if they just sat there untouched the entire time
and didn't pay for it.
That's true.
Yeah.
They probably said, put it on her tab. That's her commission.
I bet they did.
I bet Nikki probably didn't pay for it either. She probably just yelled at the waiter, put it on Ariane's tab. She's the one that wanted to celebrate and then just stormed off. I could see Nikki definitely doing that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Although, I will say Nikki actually didn't get too crazy when Ariane pointed out, hey, if you weren't dating John Cena, you wouldn't be affording houses and cars like this. And instead of blowing up and freaking out like she would be if it was Brie that said it, Nikki was like, yeah, that's very true. Yeah, you're right. John Cena pays for everything.
You raise a great point.
Yeah, like buys me houses. I wreck his car on a weekly basis. He fixes it up in a couple of days when I get back home. It's great. Like, you should marry someone with that kind of ability. But, you know, if it was Brie that said that, Nikki just would have blown up and just been livid.
Well, Nikki pays for the phone bill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She buys Brie's dresses.
Yeah.
Although probably with John Cena's credit card, let's be real.
I would imagine so, yes. Sign guy, whom else did you dislike?
Number two, I had Bree. Now, Phantasma may not be aware, Rex's favorite person on Earth is Bree Bella. Loves him some Bree Bella.
Ah!
But this episode, Bree Bella, just horrible. She goes to Eva Marie, and she's like, oh, I found out that your father's really sick, and he's going to die really soon, so I want you to start crying in this hallway and have a meltdown right now. And Eva Marie's like, no, everything's fine, and I appreciate the offer, but it's fine. And Bree's like, no, it's not. Have a meltdown in front of me now. Start crying. I demand you. And Eva Marie didn't want to have a meltdown in front of all these people in her place of work. She knew that that was the wrong decision, but Bree's just livid. And he's like, I can't believe she won't break down and start crying and sobbing right in the middle of this hallway in front of all these strangers. What's wrong with her? And Nikki tried to calm her down and say, hey, maybe she just didn't want to, like, open up.
Try it.
Just let it go. Yeah. And then she goes home to Brian, and she's complaining to him, Eva Marie's father is going to die really soon, and she wouldn't have a breakdown and cry in front of me and Nikki while we laughed at her and then told Mark Carano she had problems so he would fire her. I don't like that. And so Brian's like, well, she should be able to grieve for her father in any way she sees fit, and everybody's different, so she may not want to do that, and you should respect it. And then Bree's like, oh, well, would it be really cute if I throw her a bridal shower since she's already married and doesn't need a shower? And he's like, sure, that's a great idea, Bree. And he's just looking like, are you insane? Which she probably was. And Bree throws this bridal shower for a woman that's been married for like a year. And she flies in the mother and a bunch of strangers we've never seen. And then she ends up saying, hey, I had this party and everything's fine now. I'm sorry I ever forced you to cry about your dying dad.
That made you feel bad about it.
Yeah, but, you know, it was kind of weird because the woman had been married for a year. Now, granted, they're going to have this formal ceremony. I know you've seen all the episodes, so you know they have a formal ceremony coming up. And it was a huge deal to Eva Marie's family that they have this formal wedding in the Catholic Church until, like, three episodes ago, and then they didn't care if it was in the Catholic Church anymore because apparently they were just joking on that. But then they have a bridal shower, which was just really odd. And then Eva Marie dressed up in her wedding dress, apparently. What was that?
I feel bad for Jonathan.
Yep. And apparently we've lost Rex Razor Sharp. He's gone back for some more marshmallows to eat in the bathtub. But now, Phantasma Eckies, let's say you've been married for a year, and some broad said, I'm sorry I tried to force you to cry in front of me over your cancer-ridden father. I'll throw you a bridal shower, even though you've been married for a year. Would you mind putting on your wedding dress and walking around a restaurant in front of a bunch of strangers in a wedding dress? Would you do it?
I'd punch her in the face.
Punch her in the face.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. So if, like, some luchadora came up to you and said, hey, well, this is, say, like, 10 years in the future, and she's like, hey, cry in front of everyone so I can go running to the boss and get you fired for having an emotional breakdown in the hall, and you say no, and you're like, oh, my bad, to make it up, since you've been married a long time, let's have a bridal shower. Put on the wedding dress. You just punch that luchador right in the nose.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Now, did you have anyone else in the episode that you hated?
I don't hate Eva Marie, but I didn't really care for this much episode because she, like, was trying to force her husband into, like, converting Catholic just so they could get married. Like, that's rude. That's not his religion.
But we've had that argument many a time on this program. Many a time. And then they ended up not even caring.
Right. And then everything was all fine. They got married in a garden.
Yeah, but now this particular episode, were you a fan of the Eva Marie?
I mean, like, I think it's sweet that she was trying to honor her dad and everything, but, you know, you're marrying your husband, not your dad, so it kind of irritated me with all the forcing and begging she tried to get Jonathan to become Catholic for, you know, one day.
Yeah. Now, I had Eva Marie in my number three position. Now, this broad, she's, like, trying to hold everything together because the family doesn't tell her that her father's now got cancer all over his body, fighting for his life. They just mention it casually in the car. She's been dealing with that the last several episodes, dealing with her husband not wanting to convert to the Catholic faith for one day, which is not how it works anyway, by a long shot. She's got all this going on. And then the Bella twins, whom in the very first episode of the series ever made it clear they hated Eva Marie, didn't like her, did not like her at all, wanted her gone because they felt that she was too close to the Bellas as far as looks and ethnicity and so forth and so on. So these broads are in the hall, and one of them's trying to force her to have an emotional breakdown, and you could tell it was for the purpose not of, like, helping this poor girl, but of making her look really bad in front of the people in charge so she could get fired. She handled that all right, but then when she and Jonathan are driving in the car, and she tells them what happened, and Jonathan's like, oh, yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Like, maybe you aren't handling it perfectly well. Maybe you do need some help. And then she just goes off on Jonathan, just rips into him. He was trying to help. Now, Jonathan Coyle made it clear one time that he would go to the president of the United States of America if that's what it took to keep his wife safe and happy. Made it perfectly clear, but he didn't go to Barack Obama. No, no. He went to Monday Night Raw, and he went to the Bellas and Natty Neidhart, because why not?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, hey, we want to have a bridal shower for your wife who's already been married for like a year to you. And he's like, oh, yeah, that'll take her mind off her dead dad. And Eva Marie gets there, and she goes running to the mother, ignores the rest of the guests, and she's like, oh, you didn't tell me about dad dying, and he's all sick, and you're never going to tell me what's going on. And she's whining to the mother, and the mother's like, oh, well, why don't you call him every once in a while? Maybe if you would call him, you know, because we know you're on the road working. And she's laying this guilt trip on her daughter, and her daughter's like, I'll not only call my dad, I'll flirt with him really creepily for the next several minutes.
That was so creepy. Oh, that episode made me want to die.
But Eva Marie just calls her dad and talks in like this really weird voice and just starts hitting on her own dad in a wedding dress, totally ignoring all the other guests that were at this party. Guests such as broad number one and female number two that were sat at that table. I believe Trinity was even there. They were just sitting there really awkwardly. And not only that, like, Jonathan bought I don't know if it was a wedding ring or an engagement ring. I don't know what you buy after you're already married and have already done the ring thing. But presents her with this ring, and instead of being all happy with the ring and being like all excited that She got an upgraded ring. She goes into commercial mode. She's like, Jonathan bought me a ring. He bought it at this store located at this address. Whom does that?
I mean, really, I don't understand. I just like that, you know, Jonathan went out of his way to get her an upgrade ring and everything, but yeah, I'd be a little more focused on, like, the people that are there for me, not, you know, actually, no, that's a lie. I'm really attracted to sparklies, so actually, yeah, I probably would be more fascinated with the ring than my guest. So, yeah,
now
I think he was fine with that.
Let's say, I don't know, 10 years down the road, a masked luchador marries you, and let's say 8 months from that point, you have a bridal shower, and the masked luchador shows up at this bridal shower unannounced, wearing a pair of shorts, a backward ball cap, and a t-shirt, and he hands you this new ring that costs several thousand dollars, possibly. Would you open the box and then turn to the guests and inform them where he bought it?
No. I'd just be really happy to have sparkles.
Huh. Very interesting. Yeah, that was extremely odd all the way around.
It really was.
If you're at a bridal shower and you're wearing a wedding gown, all the other guests are wearing dresses, so it's maybe not formal, but maybe semi-formal for the occasion, and they're in this really exclusive-looking restaurant that apparently has given them a private room for this. Would you want your husband to show up in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt and a backward ball cap?
No. Ball cap better be facing forward, not backward.
Huh.
Yeah.
You'd probably expect, you know, I'm guessing you'd expect a formal mask.
Yeah. For sure.
All right. Well, I also had Eva Marie at number 3 here. So moving on to the people that we liked, whom was number 3 on your list for the people that you most liked, the most enjoyable characters?
I did like Nikki more so in this episode at the same time as I disliked her, because she did handle Ariane freaking out at the place pretty well. I mean, she didn't handle it the best afterwards, but, you know, as Ariane is yelling at her, she handled it pretty decently.
Very, very true. We covered some of Nikki's positives and negatives in this episode. She didn't make my list. But number 3 on my list, I had Machiavelli. Now, Machiavelli this episode, he's put up with a lot in the last few episodes. Put up with a lot. Now, at this divorce attorney, this, I guess, pre-hearing that they had, they were just investigating the possibility of filing. And the divorce attorney explains the procedure of whom gets what and how it works. And Natty's like, what about the pussycats? We got 3 pussycats. And TJ says, we'll just split one of them in half. He's ready to just take a chainsaw to one of the pussycats. So Machiavelli's got that worry going on. And then they get home. I'm sure Natty told him all about that. Oh, TJ wants to cut you in half with a chainsaw. Wants to cut you in half with a chainsaw. And then, before he can fully process that, there's Natty just yanking on his tail. You got mess in your tail. You got mess in your tail. Look at that mess in your tail. Poor pussycat's probably been trying for weeks to get rid of that mess. No one will help the pussycat. And there's Natty just pointing it out, making him feel even worse about himself than he already did. But Machiavelli's like, if I'm one of the 2 that's not cut by this chainsaw, I want to live with that guy over there. And he goes running to TJ. TJ, the guy that wanted to just cut him with a chainsaw if it came down to it, taking pity on the poor pussycat, And it says a lot that the pussycat would rather live with TJ, who is willing to slice one of the pussycats in half with a chainsaw.
I would too. Now he's kind of insane. If I was a cat, even if I was being threatened with a chainsaw, I'd want to live with TJ too.
Well, maybe if you're reincarnated, you would be a pussycat, maybe end up at TJ's place.
No, I'm going to become a dragon when I die.
Ricky Steamboat?
Thanks. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Whom was your number two this week?
Probably Eva, because, yeah, she irritated me with like, the whole trying to convert her husband, but, you know, she did say no to crying in front of everybody when Bree was trying so hard to make her break down and lose her job.
That's very, very true. I had her at number three on my bottom list. Number two this week, I had TJ. Now, TJ this week, he was very reasonable, I thought. He went to this divorce attorney in a downpour. He didn't necessarily want the divorce because he didn't want to spend the money or the hassle and all that. But he told Maddie, you know, whatever would make her happy, he would do it no matter what it was. If it was a divorce, then so be it. That's what he would grant. And there's Maddie just livid. You could tell she was just livid the whole time she was at the attorney office. And TJ's not taking it seriously in the very least, not at all. He tells her, walking up the sidewalk, hey, don't forget to tell the attorneys everything's my fault, okay? Just putting it out there, he's not taking it seriously at all. Wasn't interested at all in the attorney. He took it least seriously, took it probably half as seriously as he did the therapist from a couple of episodes ago when they went to the marriage counseling. He took that not seriously at all. He didn't take Dr. Milrod seriously at all when they went to Dr. Milrod. So there's a lot of stuff he is not taking seriously. The divorce attorney is apparently at the top of that list. And then when Trinity came over and Natty was like, I'll use Trinity as a way to make TJ hear me complain about him so I can pretend I'm not talking to TJ, but I'm really talking to Trinity, even though I'm really talking to TJ. He caught on really fast to that game, caught on extremely quickly. He came out of the room and confronted her, and she's like, but I was talking to Trinity in the soft tone. How could you possibly have heard any of that? And he's like, I'm 5 feet away and I have ears. I can hear you. Natty was so angry that he pointed out that logic. She dumped his laundry right on the lawn. And then TJ, when she was carrying the laundry, he didn't tackle her and take the laundry. He didn't grab the basket. He's like, she wants to know where I think the laundry's going, so it must be a contest. He's like, maybe QT is involved somehow. Maybe this is something that's going to be on turnbuckle turmoil. So he's throwing out guesses, and they were good guesses. They were pretty solid. They were wrong, but they were solid guesses on TJ's part. And then he gets to television, and he's helping out Tyler Breeze with two falls and a backbreaker, and Natty just explodes at him, just unreasonable. And what she thought reality was, TJ completely set in reality. He's like, yeah, I work here. I have a contract. They told me to be here at this time. That's what happens when you have a contract. Plus, you've been yelling at me for months to get back on the road. And you said, I had to get back on the road. And when I tried to do something in the ring, you said you wanted to throw me out of the ring and do it for me because you thought I was incapable because I was the best wrestler you'd ever seen, which meant you could do it better. You're like, none of that made any sense. And so here I am to work But she didn't buy that for a second. She thought it was some sort of Mission Impossible level spy mission he was on to infiltrate TV and confront her, which it wasn't. And TJ knew that. He knew, hey, if you're contracted with the company and they say be at this arena at this time, it's where you need to be. He knew that.
He really did. Poor TJ, getting screamed at for, you know, showing up to work.
And it made Rex Sharpe's probably 2014 into 2015, just the fact that he said, hey, what's up, brother, to his wife. Because as we learned earlier, he did that on his own wife, his wife, Beth, on an hourly basis for months.
Not going to end well ever.
I can't confirm or deny that. All right. Was there anyone else on your most liked list?
Yeah, Trinity. She was so sweet in picking up the laundry that Maddie had a random bitch fit about.
That is true.
Yeah, she was so kind. She went out and picked up everything. She was there to be there for Natty, and then all of a sudden, who really knows what happened besides Natty's craziness.
And do you think that perhaps TJ found himself calling John later that night and asking if he wanted to switch wives?
It wouldn't surprise me, but I'm pretty sure John kind of just laughed and hung up.
Possibly. Now, Trinity has done a lot for Natty over the years here on Total Divas. As you recall, it was looking at Trinity's wedding album that caused Natty to break down in one episode. Trinity tried to comfort her then. She let Natty stay with her for a while. Another episode, Trinity and John house set for Natty. More so than Arion, who was supposed to house sit, and she found the missing pussycat, saved Arion's life, but really helped Natty and TJ out that episode by saving the pussycat and keeping the house from being completely wrecked. So Trinity does a lot for poor Natty, and Natty just brings her in there to put her in awkward situations. Did you see the look of poor Trinity's face in the hallway when Natty was having that huge fit with pyro exploding in the background?
Yeah. Poor Trinity. She was just there for wine and to talk, and then all of a sudden she's picking up laundry.
Now let's say some other luchador calls you up and invites you over to their place for wine and conversation. You get there, and the husband of the luchador's laundry ends up on the lawn. What would you do?
Leave and take the wine with me.
You would advocate drinking and driving.
Oh, not exactly. I'd wait till I got home.
All right. Because Rex would have advocated it.
Yeah.
What kind of wine do you think that Natty even served to poor Trinity?
I don't know. Just ask Trinity that.
If we ever get on this program, I will. But so far, the only member of her family we've had on this program is her father. I don't think he would know. I'm going to guess it was probably out of a box. I bet Natty's like, I'll just use this really cheap stuff I got at the dollar store because it's just Trinity.
No one important. Time for the cheap stuff.
All she's here is just to listen to me scream at TJ like I'm actually screaming at Trinity, but it's really to TJ. Because TJ's stupid. He won't catch on. That was what she thought.
Probably just thinks we're having a conversation.
Exactly. Well, my number one this week, Freddie Barry Nelson. Now, Freddie Barry Nelson, not seen this week, but he was heard. He's just sitting at home, kicking at yo, when his daughter calls him up, and he's like, oh, well, their bridal shower must be over. So he's like, how was the party? Because he knew of the party because he sent his wife there. So he knew what was going on. And she just did this whiny thing, and it's like all whiny. And he's like, okay, good, yeah, okay, sure. And Freddie Barry Nelson's feeling pretty awkward at this point. He's like, why is this broad that's supposed to be at a bridal shower, even though she's already been married for a long time, calling me at home several states away when she should be entertaining the guests? He's like, how can I remedy this? And he's like, I know. I'll get as creepy as I could so she'll want to hang up and run away and rejoin the party and start, like, entertaining the guests. So he's like, huh, I like spankings. And then he laughed and he laughed. He's like, ask mommy. And he laughed and he laughed and he laughed. And Eva Marie's finally like, whoa, this is creepy even for this family. So it worked. His strategy definitely worked.
And she hung up.
Exactly. He's like, if I get really creepy here, she won't be calling me all the time, because he kind of caught on, I think. He's like, I don't want this broad calling me every 5 minutes, like, depressing me, saying, oh, you're going to be dead soon. I know, because Brie Bella told me you were about to die, and there's nothing I could do about it. And I got to face up to the fact that you're going to be dead and choking on your own blood in a horrific amount of pain as the worms eat out your eyeballs. And she's going to be calling and telling him this every day, because Brie Bella would be egging it on. He didn't want that. He's like, I'm getting treatment. I'm beating cancer 3 or 4 times already. Doctors say I got a few more years left in me. Don't need the negativity. So he just got rid of it. Just got rid of it. He said, I'll just be creepy. She'll hang up. Everything will be solid. Well played, Freddie Barry Miller.
I would have done it.
Which part?
All of it.
So you would have called Freddie Barry Nelson up and started crying and saying how he was going to die soon.
No, I would have been doing his part and being creepy until they left me alone.
Ah, so you would have also talked about how much you loved Eva Marie's mother spanking you.
And maybe I won't do all of it.
Can we get an estimate of which part?
No, never mind. I probably would cry.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, is there anything left from this episode that we've not covered that you think we should?
Nope. We all bonded over hatred of Ariane and Brie Bella. We were even a little morbid. So, no, I'm good.
All right. Well, have you anything to plug? You have stuff going on that you want to plug?
Not really.
Nothing going on at all, huh?
Wow.
All right. Well, all
right.
Well, thank you for joining us, Phantasma Eckes, SCW Cruiserweight Champion, whom apparently has nothing going on.
I really don't, unless you follow me on Instagram as Phantasma X.
All right, so they can follow you on Instagram, but not literally, correct?
I prefer it if you didn't.
All right.
Well, yeah.
If Stompin' Steve's listening, and she prefers you don't follow her literally. All right. Well, this week on Song Guys Wrestling Show, we have with us Tyler Kent from Phoenix Pro Wrestling. No, not that Phoenix Pro Wrestling. Nope, not that Phoenix Pro Wrestling either. Nope, not that one. The one from Freetown, Indiana, apparently. He will be with us on Friday. Saturday, I'll be at Paulsboro, Washington for Suquamish Championship Wrestling. Sunday afternoon, we have with us on Turnbuckle Turmoil Sergeant Major Alexander from California, and then I will be at NWA Blue Collar Wrestling for the Shake, Rattle, and Roll show. Kevin Sullivan will be there. The Honky Tonk Man will be there. Paul Moonshine himself will be there. So, should be a good time Sunday. So, I believe that will end the show. Rex Razor Sharp hiding in his bathtub, eating marshmallows, possibly drinking wine like he's Trinity. He will be back next week, I believe, as we wrap up Season 3, our final Season 3 episode on Total Dudes. Phantasma Eckes, did you ever think we would get all the way through Season 3 as we prepare for Season 6?
No, I did not. No offense.
I don't think anyone did. I think everyone's in shock, especially our only fan in the world, Zane Paisley. Perhaps he will make a meme of that. All right,
yeah.
So until next time on Total Dudes, the Sun Guy and Rex.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sun Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sun Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sun Guy and Rex. It's time. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sun Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes.